This is the NSEN ESOL International Advanced User Level C1 Listening Examination. Please check that your name and other details are on your mark sheet. The invigilator will have explained how to fill in the mark sheet. Do not write on your examination paper. Put your answers on the mark sheet. The listening examination will now begin. Part 1. You will hear 10 sentences. Read the replies on your examination paper. You have 2 minutes to read the replies on your examination paper. Listen to the sentences. You will hear the sentences in full twice. Choose the best reply for the situation. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
1. Did the parcel arrive in the post yesterday? 2. Where can you buy fresh pastries? 3. I'll be late for this afternoon's meeting. 4. When is the best time to visit the wildlife reserve? 5. When can we book our flights to Rome? 6. I have put my bag in the left luggage store. 7. Does this shirt look too big? 8. I can make it to the party for 7:30. 9. I don't think I can afford the theatre twice this month. 10. Can you help me arrange the photo shoot?
Now listen to the sentences again.
1. Did the parcel arrive in the post yesterday? 2. Where can you buy fresh pastries? 3. I'll be late for this afternoon's meeting. 4. When is the best time to visit the wildlife reserve? 5. When can we book our flights to Rome? 6. I have put my bag in the left luggage store. 7. Does this shirt look too big? 8. I can make it to the party for 7:30. 9. I don't think I can afford the theatre twice this month. 10. Can you help me arrange the photo shoot?
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. You will hear 2 conversations. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both conversations. You have 2 minutes to read them. Listen to conversation 1. You'll hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. You'll then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Hi, Fran. What have you been up to lately?
Suze, good to see you. I'm glad I've bumped into you. I've just moved into a new house around the corner on Queen's Road.
No way. I thought you were settled, living along Kew Gardens Road. What made you decide to move nearer to our favourite cafe?
Well, this sensational old house appeared on the market, which I could not resist. It had two extra bedrooms, ready for our growing family, and was ripe for development. It needs serious, meticulous attention in updating it.
Oh, Fran, that sounds like an outright nightmare. I hope you got it at a knock-down price.
Oh, yes. It was roughly about €150,000 less than the majority of the houses on that road. And you know I'm a jack of all trades, so I can do most of the work myself, with the help of some tradespeople, like a plumber and an electrician. I would never try my hand at the electrics. That's definitely a job for the professionals.
I'm glad to hear that. If you're in need of a reliable plumber, I've got the number of a superb plumber who gives honest quotes and favourable timeframes. He's called Jack, and luckily his sister Kate is a time-served electrician with years of experience rewiring and working on large projects like your new house.
That would be a valuable help if you could give me their numbers, as good reliable tradespeople are like hen's teeth, extremely rare.
Very true. Jack's is 07894-667-667 and Kate's is 01991-850-314. Kate's is a landline, as she doesn't like mobile phones, but she does have an answering machine.
Great. I'll call them in the morning to arrange appointments for quotes. It will be a while before I need them, as I have so much demolition work to do first.
Now listen to the conversation again.
Hi, Fran. What have you been up to lately?
Suze, good to see you. I'm glad I've bumped into you. I've just moved into a new house around the corner on Queen's Road.
No way. I thought you were settled, living along Kew Gardens Road. What made you decide to move nearer to our favourite cafe?
Well, this sensational old house appeared on the market, which I could not resist. It had two extra bedrooms, ready for our growing family, and was ripe for development. It needs serious, meticulous attention in updating it.
Oh, Fran, that sounds like an outright nightmare. I hope you got it at a knock-down price.
Oh, yes. It was roughly about €150,000 less than the majority of the houses on that road. And you know I'm a jack of all trades, so I can do most of the work myself, with the help of some tradespeople, like a plumber and an electrician. I would never try my hand at the electrics. That's definitely a job for the professionals.
I'm glad to hear that. If you're in need of a reliable plumber, I've got the number of a superb plumber who gives honest quotes and favourable timeframes. He's called Jack, and luckily his sister Kate is a time-served electrician with years of experience rewiring and working on large projects like your new house.
That would be a valuable help if you could give me their numbers, as good reliable tradespeople are like hen's teeth. Extremely rare.
Very true. Jack's is 07894-667-667 and Kate's is 01991-850-314. Kate's is a landline, as she doesn't like mobile phones, but she does have an answering machine.
Great. I'll call them in the morning to arrange appointments for quotes. It will be a while before I need them, as I have so much demolition work to do first.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. Listen to conversation 2. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
How was your trip to Portugal?
It was fantastic, David. Although, what was planned as a trip around Portugal on the train turned into travel everywhere by bus and taxi, as the train drivers were on strike the whole time.
Oh no, did it spoil the trip?
You know me. I take everything in my stride. Actually, it worked out better, as we got to see more of the countryside at a slower pace instead of it whizzing by.
So tell me, where did you visit first and what was your lasting memory of it?
We flew to Faro and got a taxi into town. We couldn't have planned it better, as the Faro International Bike Rally was on. There were parades and bands playing in the centre, very lively and friendly. Faro had a warm, welcoming feel to it without the party atmosphere. That and the amazing patterned cobbled streets will be my lasting memory.
So where did you travel to next on your whistle-stop tour of Portugal?
As there were no trains, we travelled 3.5 hours by bus up to Lisbon, where we stayed in a beautifully renovated apartment in the centre of the Alfama district.
What stayed with me when I visited Lisbon was the hand-painted tile houses everywhere. The colours were fantastic. Oh, and of course the famous pastel de natas, otherwise known as Portugal's finest custard tarts.
Ah, yes. The custard tarts were sampled from various bakeries around the city before we took a taxi up to the town of Sintra to the north of Lisbon. We saw the amazing royal palace of Pina, towering above Sintra. It was like something from a magical fairy tale, with lots of turrets and buildings of the most amazing vibrant colours of yellows, oranges and reds.
I think I can tell which was the highlight of your visit to Lisbon.
Hard to say, really. The colours of the palace or the tarts. Mmm.
The custard tarts. Must be.
Now listen to the conversation again.
How was your trip to Portugal?
It was fantastic, David. Although, what was planned as a trip around Portugal on the train turned into travel everywhere by bus and taxi, as the train drivers were on strike the whole time.
Oh no, did it spoil the trip?
You know me. I take everything in my stride. Actually, it worked out better, as we got to see more of the countryside at a slower pace instead of it whizzing by.
So tell me, where did you visit first and what was your lasting memory of it?
We flew to Faro and got a taxi into town. We couldn't have planned it better, as the Faro International Bike Rally was on. There were parades and bands playing in the centre, very lively and friendly. Faro had a warm, welcoming feel to it without the party atmosphere. That and the amazing patterned cobbled streets will be my lasting memory.
So where did you travel to next on your whistle-stop tour of Portugal?
As there were no trains, we travelled 3.5 hours by bus up to Lisbon, where we stayed in a beautifully renovated apartment in the centre of the Alfama district.
What stayed with me when I visited Lisbon was the hand-painted tile houses everywhere. The colours were fantastic. Oh, and of course the famous pastel de natas, otherwise known as Portugal's finest custard tarts.
Ah, yes. The custard tarts were sampled from various bakeries around the city before we took a taxi up to the town of Sintra to the north of Lisbon. We saw the amazing royal palace of Pina, towering above Sintra. It was like something from a magical fairy tale, with lots of turrets and buildings of the most amazing vibrant colours of yellows, oranges and reds.
I think I can tell which was the highlight of your visit to Lisbon.
Hard to say, really. The colours of the palace or the tarts. Mmm.
The custard tarts. Must be.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and Discussion. You will now hear a debate and a discussion. You will hear them twice. You have 2 minutes to look at the questions for both the debate and the discussion. Now listen to the debate. Record your answers on the mark sheet. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Our debate today is whether older people are wiser than young people. We have Marianne from the Students' Union of Leeds University to give us a young person's perspective on the debate. Let's start with the question off. Is old age the key to wisdom?
Yes, unquestionably.
As certain life experiences are inclined to be wisdom-producing in nature, which can give the older person an advantage. But with the invention of the internet and social media, young people can attain so much insight into things at an earlier age, meaning that they can gain wisdom at a more accelerated rate than living life as in the past.
So, what you're saying is that younger people are eclipsing the older generation at gaining more wisdom earlier in life via electronic means, rather than gaining it through life's experiences?
Yes, there are research findings from the University of Chicago that claim that there is no specific evidence that old age is the only key to wisdom, as it's also evident in young people.
Wisdom can be difficult to define, as most of us believe that it takes a long time to accomplish, and the German philosopher George Hegel believed that when we are older and free from the challenges of daily labours, we then possess the time and freedom to reflect on life and society's problems.
I agree, but I feel because of the information about society at our fingertips, at any time of the day, we are developing a greater insight at an earlier age. I think that empowers us to understand more things fully before it's too late, like in previous generations.
Yes, in part, but it takes copious years of life skills to gain a deeper insight, and a person is better placed to provide moral guidance to life's problems as they mature. A very compelling debate, Marianne. Perhaps the real question is, are young people receptive to the older generation's wisdom gained from life experiences?
Now listen to the debate again.
Our debate today is whether older people are wiser than young people. We have Marianne from the Students' Union of Leeds University to give us a young person's perspective on the debate. Let's start with the question off. Is old age the key to wisdom?
Yes, unquestionably. As certain life experiences are inclined to be wisdom-producing in nature, which can give the older person an advantage. But with the invention of the internet and social media, young people can attain so much insight into things at an earlier age, meaning that they can gain wisdom at a more accelerated rate than living life as in the past.
So, what you're saying is that younger people are eclipsing the older generation at gaining more wisdom earlier in life via electronic means, rather than gaining it through life's experiences?
Yes, there are research findings from the University of Chicago that claim that there is no specific evidence that old age is the only key to wisdom, as it's also evident in young people.
Wisdom can be difficult to define, as most of us believe that it takes a long time to accomplish, and the German philosopher George Hegel believed that when we are older and free from the challenges of daily labours, we then possess the time and freedom to reflect on life and society's problems.
I agree, but I feel because of the information about society at our fingertips, at any time of the day, we are developing a greater insight at an earlier age. I think that empowers us to understand more things fully before it's too late, like in previous generations.
Yes, in part, but it takes copious years of life skills to gain a deeper insight, and a person is better placed to provide moral guidance to life's problems as they mature. A very compelling debate, Marianne. Perhaps the real question is, are young people receptive to the older generation's wisdom gained from life experiences?
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and discussion. Listen to the discussion. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Today, we're discussing what traits make someone a good entrepreneur. Perhaps someone who is passionate and innovative in creating a new business. Should we name what we think are the top four and discuss these, as I think there may be many?
Okay, let me start with my top two. Self-discipline and curiosity.
Self-discipline, yes, definitely. You need to do the work even when you don't feel like it. You must work long hours and keep the motivation to wake up early or stay up late when you start the new venture. And what about curiosity?
Well, the best entrepreneurs always want to learn more. They ask good questions and look for opportunities to grow themselves and their business. They have the ability to change their opinions when presented with new information.
I agree wholeheartedly. What about my top two? Willingness to try new things and, most importantly, honesty.
For sure. As an entrepreneur, you'll constantly be presented with new tasks that challenge your skill set. You have to be ready to be creative and think outside the box. It is important to watch your idea fail too, as every failure is an opportunity to learn and improve on ideas. Read market research to see if there's an adequate demand and stay up to date on the latest news within your industry.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And of course, honesty. You're only as good as your word. Having this will reap the benefits, such as developing a reputation as a strong and honest communicator. Clients will know you deliver on your promises.
I agree. And also, people will be more willing to lend you money for your next idea, along with people supporting you during rough times.
And I'll throw an extra one in, a very important one. Always have a plan and vision for your company 5 to 10 years from now.
Yes, I agree.
Now listen to the discussion again.
Today, we're discussing what traits make someone a good entrepreneur. Perhaps someone who is passionate and innovative in creating a new business. Should we name what we think are the top four and discuss these, as I think there may be many?
Okay, let me start with my top two. Self-discipline and curiosity.
Self-discipline, yes, definitely. You need to do the work even when you don't feel like it. You must work long hours and keep the motivation to wake up early or stay up late when you start the new venture. And what about curiosity?
Well, the best entrepreneurs always want to learn more. They ask good questions and look for opportunities to grow themselves and their business. They have the ability to change their opinions when presented with new information.
I agree wholeheartedly. What about my top two? Willingness to try new things and, most importantly, honesty.
For sure. As an entrepreneur, you'll constantly be presented with new tasks that challenge your skill set. You have to be ready to be creative and think outside the box. It is important to watch your idea fail too, as every failure is an opportunity to learn and improve on ideas. Read market research to see if there's an adequate demand and stay up to date on the latest news within your industry.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And of course, honesty. You're only as good as your word. Having this will reap the benefits, such as developing a reputation as a strong and honest communicator. Clients will know you deliver on your promises.
I agree. And also, people will be more willing to lend you money for your next idea, along with people supporting you during rough times.
And I'll throw an extra one in, a very important one. Always have a plan and vision for your company 5 to 10 years from now.
Yes, I agree.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. That is the end of the listening examination. Please check your mark sheet is completed correctly. Put your pens down. End of examination.